Now this evening I just want to speak to you and to bring before you, your attention, one particular verse, and it's verse 11 of that chapter we read in Matthew. When they, the wise men, were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So I just want to draw your attention to the wise men. These were wise men. They were scholars. They weren't kings. Nowhere are we told they were three kings from Orient. They were not kings, and there's certainly there's no reason to believe there were three kings. There's probably a lot more than three, probably a good number of kings. We're not told. We're just told that, not kings, but wise men. I'm contradicting myself. These scholars were more than three. Were they believers? Well, they weren't Christians. They were magi. And that simply means they were wise men. It's an excellent translation. They were astronomers. They obviously studied the stars and saw great significance in the star that they saw. They may even have been astrologers early in their journey. Maybe those who felt that, as people did, that they were superstitious, thinking the stars can move and thus affect our lives on earth. Were they fortune tellers? Well, no, because they'd be foolish men, not wise men, if they were fortune tellers. Whatever they were, they knew the Old Testament scriptures. That's the surprising thing. They knew from the Old Testament that there was a king of the Jews expected. This wasn't something that people from Iran, which is probably where they came from, it's not something that people from Iran would have been particularly interested in, the fact that there was going to be a king of the Jews one day. So they came from the east, wise men, not necessarily believers in the same sense that Christians are believers or that Jews were. They were awakened to seek real union and favour with God. And they were awakened now and sufficiently enlightened to perceive that it was significant for the world, for them as non-Jews, that the King of the Jews be born. So I want to begin by telling you about the journey into faith. The journey into faith. It takes a journey to become a believer. To become someone that has true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must embark upon a journey. It might be a long journey. It might be a short journey. I've known people that have set out on that journey, and the very night in which they set out, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and found him and came to believe in him. Known others that for years they've been searching and trying to find and never able to fully grasp what it is. Sometimes you're on that journey and you don't know you're on the journey. You are being led by circumstances, things that happen in your lives. And as these things happen to you, good things and bad things, marriage, divorce, many different things that happen in your life, which God uses in order to bring you close on that journey to faith, where you have real faith. There comes a time, though, when, like these wise men, you start the final leg of the journey. When you begin to seek Christ and you know you're seeking Christ. When you know that it's only by finding him that you can have that meaning, that purpose, that salvation, that forgiveness, the pardon of God. And you know that's vitally important. By contrast, for many, despite all the warning signs that we see around us, dissatisfaction with life, clear evidence of a creator God behind the universe, even despite living through 2 years of pandemic and seeing the devastation, still they wouldn't cross the road to find Christ. They wouldn't cross the road to even listen with interest to the things of the gospel. Yet these men, these wise men, they were prepared because they saw a star of such obvious significance to wise men that they made a journey to find the one who would be born King of the Jews. Now they were from a nation but by and large would have had little respect for Jewish things or the Messiah of Jews. Yet they had in their possession many books. Wise men would have had many, many books, scrolls, and books of great learning, one of which was the Hebrew Scriptures. And they read of the promised Saviour, promised to Adam and Eve, promised to Abraham, promised to Isaac and Jacob, to the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah and the others. And they saw that the King of the Jews meant King of the one people who knew the living God. They'd seen enough of worshipping statues, sticks and stones and man-made idols, and they saw that the living God, the one who made heaven and earth, could be known as they read these scriptures. I read many years ago of a translator of the New Testament, and he said that as he began to go into the scriptures, it was like rewiring an old house when they'd forgotten to turn the electricity off. Coming to the Bible, coming to the Word of God, it thrills you, it excites you once you begin to understand it. So they began to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. The journey led them away from Persia or Iran towards Israel. They saw the star, they had the star, but it's very likely that once they decided that Jesus would be born, that the Son of God would be born, this Messiah, the King of the Jews, there was only one place he was likely to be born, and that was Jerusalem. So maybe they took their eyes off the star and it went away, and they had to make their way to Jerusalem. They looked towards Jerusalem instead of the star. What about your journey? If you're making that journey and you want to seek the true fulfillment and the joy of peace with God, don't let your own understanding lead you. You'll end up in a place you might expect to find Christians or to find Christ, but you won't find him in cathedrals. You won't find him in good works, in human achievement. You'll only find him in the Word of God and where that is preached and where that is taught. Where can I find it? Which scriptures lead me to Christ? That's the sort of question you'll want to ask. Well, they ended up in Jerusalem, and Herod the king heard they were troubling all Jerusalem. That's why I think there were more than three, because it says all Jerusalem was troubled. Three men would have been of little significance. But when these men, perhaps many of them, perhaps a dozen, came and started to go around Jerusalem asking about he that is born King of the Jews, the whole country was troubled, certainly the whole city. And Herod was troubled. He was troubled because a rival king, a rival to him. He was troubled because he was put there by the Romans. They installed Herod to keep the peace, and if there was a rival to him, well, the Romans would make trouble for him. All Jerusalem suggests that people were nervous because they knew what Herod was like. He was a cruel, vicious man. And if he thought there was trouble, he would indeed instigate trouble, and he did, in the slaughter of the innocents, the children that died, in order to try to cull the Lord Jesus. Well, Herod called for the chief priests and scribes. He gathered them together, and from them he gained the news that Micah the prophet in the Old Testament said Bethlehem was the place where the child would be born. So these wise men were sent off to Bethlehem with the most sincere words of Herod, "Oh, bring back news to me and I'll come and worship him as well." Well, back on track. Verse 9, they saw the star again. They'd first seen it in the east. They'd taken their eyes off it and gone to Jerusalem. Now the star must have been quite low in the sky, because they were able to pick out the very house where the Lord Jesus was laid as a young child. He was no longer in the stable. Any picture you have in your mind of shepherds coming into a stable and then the wise men coming in, well, we know that's not how it happened. The wise men were much later. In fact, they couldn't have been more than about 40 days later. But within that first month, after the birth of the Lord Jesus, the wise men came to the house where he was. We know that 40 days after the birth, Mary and Joseph had to go to Jerusalem. And they came with an offering. And the offering they had was the poor man's offering. Two turtle doves. They couldn't bring a lamb. Well, if they'd had gold and frankincense and myrrh in their possession, they surely would have gone out and bought a whole flock of lambs. But they didn't. So that's how we would surmise that it was within 40 days. And then we have the strange sight. If you'd been there, looking in through the window, you'd have found it immensely puzzling. Here was a baby, only a couple of months, 1 month maybe, old, with his mother Mary. And you would see three obviously distinguished men, maybe more, I said more than three, a number of wise men, all falling down on the ground. They didn't just bow the knee or curtsy, they fell to the ground in wonder and worship to a small baby lying in a bed. If you knew who they were, what they represented, you'd find it even more strange. They were rich men, very rich, because we read that out of their treasures they drew forth gold, frankincense and myrrh. So they had treasures. They were rich men. Rich people are not interested in Jesus, are they? Rich people are far more interested in making more money on the stock market or whatever investments they have. But all true riches bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, to this baby. All riches are nothing compared to Christ. We read in a New Testament letter that he, though he was rich, became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. You can be as rich as Croesus, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, all put together, but you're a total pauper if you don't have Jesus Christ. Riches far greater than gold, and all the world's riches must bow the knee before the Saviour of sinners. And then they were wise men. They were great scholars. These weren't people that just sat there every day doing the sun crossword. These weren't people that decided that the best thing in the world was watching EastEnders on television. These were wise men. These were wise men. And it's the term magi is reserved for immensely wise scholars. But all true wisdom bows down to the Saviour of sinners. They fall to the ground. These wise, wise men, many of them, they fell to the ground before the Saviour, the baby in that bed, no longer in a manger. The all-knowing, all-caring creator of the universe, our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And they were religious men because they came from afar, and they would have been of a foreign religion originally. They came now to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were from a land where the religion certainly wasn't Christian or even Jewish. They had, we presume, some faith in something. They weren't atheists, otherwise they'd be the foolish men. All religions bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, every religion will bow the knee to Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. And they were foreigners. That's not racist. They were foreigners. They were not of the Jews. And salvation is of the Jews, the Bible said. But they were foreigners. They were from a foreign land, and they represent to us the fact that one day all nations shall bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel will be spoken in every land, in every tribe, in every kindred, in every nation, before Jesus returns from heaven again. Well, that's practically been done now. But the gifts. We close by thinking about the gifts. We come to the one who was born in the stable. Just like these wise men, we come to him this evening. We visit him in his humble home, as the wise men did, men of a different religion, men previously of a different religion, now followers of Christ. Rich men, representatives of the nations, and they brought gold, and we would bring gold if we would find Christ. We acknowledge him as king. Gold represents the fact that they were coming to a king. You didn't bring copper or something from Primark to the king. You brought gold to a king. They brought gold, and we must bring gold. We must bring that recognition that he is the king, and he will be the king of your life. He'll be the king that you'll gladly serve with all your heart if you come to believe in him. And they brought frankincense. That's incense, but a very costly incense, which was what priests brought to give to God. It wasn't for anybody else. You didn't bring incense to worship another man. Frankincense acknowledges that we see Jesus as God. He is the God who made the universe, now in a stable, now in a room with his mother. And they brought myrrh. What's myrrh? Strange name, isn't it? Well, myrrh was the anointing of the body for death. Myrrh was what was used. It shows the humanity of Christ, because he had to become a man. In order to save us, he couldn't remain in heaven as God and save us. He had to come down to earth. This is the most down-to-earth religion in the world. In fact, it's not religion. Religion is man striving to reach up to heaven. The Christian message is that God reached down and came to save us. He came down to earth from heaven, who was God and Lord of all. And the Lord Jesus came down, and the faith that we need is the faith that believes in a Saviour who came to us, and he did it all for us. You don't have to do anything to achieve being right with God. You don't have to do anything to get to heaven. Just believe, accept the gift that God has given, his Son who came and loved us and died for us. And myrrh speaks of his death. He came into this world with a view to dying for us, with a view to going to the cross, and there on the cross, suffering agony. And the road from Bethlehem to the cross was one road, because Jesus, even from a child, saw that he must go to suffer and to die for us. And he did willingly, because he loves you. He loves you and he cares about your soul. He cares that as you're going now, you're moving towards a lost eternity if you haven't believed on the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cares about that. He loves you. And he came and he put himself in the way, and he was lifted up from earth to heaven on a cross, so that you, by believing in him, looking to him, trusting in him, might have forgiveness and pardon and salvation. And even tonight, that great and wonderful joy of knowing peace with God. May the Lord help all of us here tonight to know the birth of Christ in our hearts this Christmas time, even tonight.